heard of you before. It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.
Father God, thank you. Thank you for giving us another opportunity to pray for your children and to spread your word through gestures of love and forgiveness. And Father God, we've come here today to just honor you, and you've made it clear that failing to pray for our brothers and sisters and is a sin, and you made it clear that as trouble comes, we live by the belt of truth and stand firm by your principles. And Father God, we understand that we will all be tested. We understand that no matter what, our loyalty is with you. And Father God, we pray that your podcast will transform lives and allow this medium to be a blessing to those who are listening. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We pray for healing. We pray for direction, and we pray for your will. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Listen up. Are you ready? Are you ready to play a role in changing the narrative for our Black and Brown communities? There is no better time than now for us to learn, change, uplift our communities, and forever improve our encounters with law enforcement. There will be two. That's right. Two Know Your Rights workshops on March 15th. Both workshops are being sponsored by the one and only John Blakely of J Speaks. UM5O will conduct both workshops on how to safely interact with police and safely get home. Thomas Mentoring Leadership Academy is hosting the first workshop, which will be held from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Durham Nativity School in Durham. This is located at 1004 North Mangum Street. The second Know Your Rights workshop will be hosted by Alexandra Valladares de Comunidad de Durham at Recity Network at 112 Broadway Street in Durham from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. You don't want to miss this. See you there.
And we hope to see you there. Super important subject, right? And remember, we're talking about saving lives on both sides. You know, it could be your son, your daughter, family, friend. If you could have family members who are in law enforcement, this is super, super important. Yeah. And also March 7th, 7 p.m., the power of praise coming to Fresh Anointed Tabernacle Deliverance in Henderson. Yes. D.S. Will, Sosa Brown, and Nick is, U-House, Natasha, Humble, Miles B., Muna, and we just added to the program, Jemiah. Yeah, that's all right. All right, so that's all I have. Beautiful people, it's me, Unknown Preacher LA, Lonzo, aka LA, aka Mr. Nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And who else is in the building?
Moona! Moona! He can't be another world. It's like, let me stop.
Oh, hey, Moona, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you.
Always good to connect. Hey, what do you think about Power of Praise?
Man, I think it's gonna be lit. It's gonna be lit for the Lord. It's a time to come together. It's gonna be free food, free ministering and several modalities, which is always great. What is wonderful about this is that, you know, not everybody sings, not everybody is a hip hop artist, not everybody is, you know, we have several modalities, you know, people that, you know, are going to be coming forth with their talents in all different genres. And so that's what's really special and unique about it. It's in a real, it's in an area that really needs the praise, really needs the uplifting of Jesus Christ. And so that's really what it's all about. We have some good food and good fellowship, and I'm really excited. How about you? How do you feel? You always ask everybody how they feel. How do you feel about it? The unknown preacher, amen.
I gotta be a good host and make certain I give you the time you need to express yourself on that. But I'm super excited as well. Like you said, free food, free fellowship, mm-hmm. Free music. And it's intentional. Like you said, that's a community that really needs us. They really need our presence, and whatever we can offer, mm-hmm. it is definitely going to get to them through God. But mm-hmm. we strategically select those areas, man, because this is important, man. I keep saying it, we're at war. And so the war is real. The enemy is real. The mm-hmm. fight is strong, and we have mm-hmm. to have the intestinal fortitude and the win to stay resilient, you know.
Wow, I love how you pinpointed on the fact that we're in war, because it's true. There's a natural war going on, but there's a supernatural war going on as well. And there's let's just say 1 Chronicles 20. Mm-hmm. It's either 1 Chronicles or I believe it's 1 Chronicles 20. It mm-hmm. depicts the story of Jehoshaphat, who I believe was a king of Judah. And he had three neighboring nations that came against him. The Ammonites or the Amorites. Mm-hmm. I believe it was the Moabites, Meubites, and the Reubenites, or I don't know, something like that. But there were three neighboring nations that were coming against him. He found out, he got afraid. So he went into his prayer closet and he was like, listen, God, I acknowledge the fact that I'm scared. And if you don't step in and intervene, we're going to get slaughtered. And so he put everybody on a fast, the children of Israel, he put on a fast. And during that fast, a man of God who was a priest and a prophet spoke. I believe his name was Bathaniel or something like that, something with a B. But he spoke to the people and encouraged the people. And he said, listen, the battle has already been fought and won. Mm-hmm. The battles that we are facing here in the natural, the battles that we see from sometimes what it looks like, nationality against nationality and economics against economic bracket. This is all a spiritual thing. So he said, listen, the battle has already been fought and won. These battles that we see nowadays here in the natural, they've already been fought and won. So when we do not tap into the spiritual realm in order to get, in order to bring down the victory that we already have, it's a detriment. That's when anger builds up. That's when unforgiveness and bitterness fills up, because we want to look at the people like it's the people. Nah, baby, it's not the people. It's the supernatural realm that's moving and you know, kind of maneuvering. So anyway, in 1 Chronicles 20, Bathaniel or Bahathiel or whatever his name was. And I want everybody to go and read it so that you know that, you know, Muna's not just pulling this out of her hat. He says, look, go to the war. The battle has been fought and won. Now check out this strategy, my God. And this pertains to us, man of God. This pertains to us as ministers of music. He said that when you go to the war, before he picked the soldiers, he put the musicians in front of the soldiers. What is the significance? That tells you that praise, and my God, I give you the glory. Yeah. Praise and worship is a form of warfare. Yeah. Because the devil wants you to be like, oh, I'm so mad, I'm angry, tra-ta. We gonna, you know what I'm saying? We gonna get strapped up, we gonna holler at you, you know, you coming for me, I'm coming for you. But if you would just praise God,
If you would just glorify God, if you would just give God the glory and the honor and the praise for the battle that that has already been fought and won, my God, there is the strategy for success. So they go to war, and the words were, praise ye the Lord for his mercy, my God, endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. I don't care what type of battle, what it looks like. It could have been worse. It could have been 10,000 times worse. But because of God's grace and mercy, he knows just how and when to pull us out. Hallelujah. So anyway, they go to war. And when they get there, when they're letting out the sound of praise ye the Lord for his mercy endure forever, it confuses the enemy. So those three neighboring nations that were first supposed to come against Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel, they turn on each other and kill each other. So when they get to the battleground, baby, there's no work to be done. Yeah. And what did they do? All they did was go into the presence of the Lord, fast, listen to the prophet of the Lord, be obedient to the words that came from God through the prophet, sing a song, praise ye the Lord for his mercy endure forever. And voila, 3 days that they collected all of the spoils from these three neighboring nations. So anyway, that's how I feel. So anytime we get together and it's a time of praise and worship, it's like, woo-hoo.
Amen. Amen. You know what's so, I'm going to let my word be my word on this, but God is so good. Someone told me that exact story out of Chronicles yesterday.
No way.
What? I am not. And the reason, because, you know, I'll put this in front of our listeners on two things, but okay. And I'll put it out there. So, and you know, it's been a rough week for me.
Yeah.
And so a small circle of friends know, most of them know, and what's been going on. I won't talk about it here out of fairness to all the parties involved, but I truly love my family. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ, and we really learn from each other. And through this process, I'm seeing who really has my back, and it's heartfelt. So, and my wife was amazing too, because she too was hurt, but still was thinking about me and everything going on. And but I also want to thank you, Mona, because those who know me, they know it takes a lot. And when I say a lot, I mean a lot to push my buttons and get me upset. And but Mona, you kept it real. You kept it 100. You called me out and reminded me that being angry gives the devil opportunity. And so I appreciate you for that and for being in the circle. So I know that God got this. So that's very helpful. But that person was going, he was referencing that same story because he knew. And honestly, this is the funny part. He really didn't know all about my week, but he knew enough to share that story. So,
Now let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. He told you about the story. Did you go and did you read it?
I'll be honest with you. I did not. I've been in the book, but I have not touched that story. So don't start with this homework assignment now. I'm gonna get to it.
Listen, let me just say this. Let me say this. Yeah. There's a reason when we read the Bible, there's a lot of things that God will say once, twice, and thrice. Yeah. Yeah. I learned a long time ago that when God is repeating his word, because a lot of it, most of it has been from Old Testament to New Testament, a lot of this word has been, you know, it resurfaces. You know, they say history repeats itself. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of strategies. So when God is saying things to you over and over and over and over, that is the time for you to get in there and you know, and read it for yourself, right? Because listen, we're limited. We are limited without Jesus Christ. without God's direction, without the Holy Spirit, we don't know much. Let's just keep it real. I know a lot of us are, even if we're great at our professions and, you know, we've been reading the word. I don't care if you've been reading the word since you were two in Timbuktu. Amen. You still have to take every opportunity. And this is for all of our listeners. We still take every opportunity when you hear a scripture, when someone says something, be a Berean. Go and search this thing for yourself so that, because what's going to happen is when you go, God is going to pull out. He's going to pull out things that maybe that person missed. And he wanted you to go and read it so that this way he can give you revelation that maybe he didn't give it to that person. But that person was just on an assignment. I got to give you the glory. That person was just on assignment to drop the jewel in you so that you can then go take the jewel and take it further. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's, I'm not going to give you a hard time about it, man. Okay?
No, you were. I don't disagree with you. So you were a confirmation. Say that again.
I said, I beseech thee to go and do it.
I am. So you just gave the confirmation. So now I'm going to it. So I will do it. You have my word. I promise you. And so I want us to go back to anger in a minute, but I want to point out some things because you made me think about it just now as I was giving you the business because you are hilarious, you know. So like last week, I want our listeners to know I was talking about my mom's ex-boyfriend when I was 12, Nelson, and I was like, you know, I heaven forbid I see this guy and all that, but I was really, really joking, you know. And so, but Muna was calling me out, boy. She had that spiritual lecture going on, and I'm like, Muna, I was playing. But others may have thought that I was serious too. And what I was sharing with Muna was like, police humor can be really dry sometimes. And we can, and I know if you've seen any cop shows or movies where they do some really crazy stuff that's not funny to others, and I got to work on that. So it was kind of dry, and so people can really think you're serious, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's it? Just
What do you want me to say? Like, no, because you're already, you be intense, yo. Especially your eyes, the way you be looking. You know what I mean? Like, and then you want to come out of left field, like, yeah, I'm about to go find him, and it's like, whoa, what happened? No, but listen, honestly, you know, I have, and I was telling you off screen that I have a lot of friends who are in law enforcement. My father was a military man, and so I love, I like being in that arena because there's an intensity with you guys, but there's also I like the discipline act, the discipline and the authority and, you know, the training specifically that you guys go through. And, you know, it really is exciting to me to be in the arena of law enforcement and people that have these authoritative positions. You know what I'm saying? So I probably should have known. I think it's just because you are my brother in Christ and you're my friend. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I don't know. Maybe it was me and I was like, whoa, buddy. And then also remember, like, you're not going to be rocking with me. You got all of this hidden hidden anger. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't be on my team. No, so maybe it was just that. But, and also think, you know, our ministry is healing and deliverance. For those that don't know, my family and I have been graced to oversee an international ministry called La Casa del Espíritu Santo Incorporated, which means the House of the Holy Spirit Incorporated. And so we deal a lot with spiritual, emotional, mental, physical, and financial health and healing and deliverance in those areas. And so it baffles me when a person, you could quote scripture back forward, blindfolded on a Tuesday, on a, you know what I'm saying, on a red day, but you're a walking time bomb.
Yeah.
Or you're so, you know, you have all of these wealth and the riches and the glam, and but you're spiritually dead. No, baby, you got to be well. Being a whole person in Christ Jesus means that all of those areas are being catered to. And so this is kind of what, you know, Holy Spirit has laid on our heart
to provide for his people, to make sure all five of those areas are being, you know, are being, let me watch the word, are being cared for. Thank you, Holy Spirit, are being cared for. So that's it. That's kind of my thing. You know what I mean? So yeah. If I miss, you know, if I looked too deeply into it, you know, then I apologize. Those weren't my intentions. I was just like, oh, snap. You know, like, because I'm like, this brother, he too smooth with his. Like, you be smooth with yours. You know, you the quiet storm. So you come in through, everybody's going to the right. You coming through the back side door on the left-hand side, you know what I'm saying, at 150 degrees, you know what I'm saying? And you come in on an angle, and you just smooth with yours, you know? And so it's like, okay, does this guy ever really crack? So, like, so for me, I'm like, antenna, red flag. So, like, he's about to pop. So, no.
No, you're good. I you know, apologies needed at all. And I, because it has been a short time. I mean, it's just people wouldn't know it when they listen to the podcast, but it really has been a short time. But those who know me for a long time know that I can say things and it's like, but I do need to be more mindful. I do. But you know, here's the funny part though. Growing up, I had serious anger issues, like with me and the boys. I was usually the first one. If we all got into fights, I would be the first one to throw the punch, or you know. And I just had, yeah,
the people unknown preacher, LA.
Yeah, the unknown preacher.
The nobody God. Telling everybody about somebody who can tell anybody. Unknown kids. What?
Wow. Yeah, what they say, turn our mess into a message, man. But yeah, so, but I realized it was because my dad and I disconnected from the time I was 12 until about 24. Mm. So at that time, it was a lot of, you know, I didn't realize looking back now. But you know, so that's the story. So even when I got into like law enforcement, there was a police recruiter, and he's interviewing my mom. And by then I had been delivered through God, amen, and also working on a psychiatric ward, taught you how to be patient. But the recruiter was interviewing my mother, and she's like, he is so calm, he's great attitude, but once he gets upset, he can't calm down. We just can't calm him down. And I'm like, Mom, you don't tell me that I can't calm down. That's gonna, you know, make it hard for me to get employment. So that was one of the reasons I say that God definitely had his hands in my career path as well. But yeah, anger was no stranger back then.
Wow.
Oh
my gosh. You know what? And let me just say this. Things like that are... because God will always test you in the areas where the devil will try you.
Mm-hmm.
God will always test you in the areas where the devil will try you, or vice versa. You know what I'm saying? So something like you being angry, or a person being bitter, you know, one as you continue, as we, let me just make it general. As we continuously, especially those of us who are in ministry, as we continue to elevate, we are going to be tested and tried by God. And I don't know where the verse is, but I remember I used to hear from, you know, people before who were also in the ministry, like, God doesn't test you, the devil tests you. And then I was reading the word of God one day, and the exact words was that God tested, and I forgot who the person was. And I was like, now you see, this is the reason why we have to be Bereans. We have to be passionate about the things of the Lord, because we'll just hear something that somebody else says, no disrespect to any of the clergymen, but we don't know everything. We don't know everything. Our job is to continuously point people back to Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Back to the word of God. You know what I'm saying? So I say all that to say that, you know, as we elevate, you know, as men and women of God and ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's always going to be times where the devil is going to try to knock us off of our block.
Yeah.
And a lot of that comes in the form of messing with the people that we love. Mm-hmm. Our spouses, right? You know, we don't play around our spouses.
Mm-hmm.
Our
the unknown preacher of LA, aka Lonzo. And let me tell you about Streamline Media Agency LLC. So when I decided to do my podcast, I didn't know anything about recordings, distribution companies, or how to get it to podcast platforms. But Brianna and Streamline, they came to the rescue. And within one day, she set up a Zoom meeting, shared the podcast process with me step by step. She even came to my initial recording and assisted me with my first two interviews. And right now, at this moment, I'm extremely comfortable with my subscriptions, recordings, and uploading to my distributor. And then months later, she set up my webpage within hours. So Streamline gives you the attention you need to feel comfortable doing it alone. Thanks, Streamline. Appreciate it.
Babies. Yeah. You know we don't play around our babies, our parents.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're always under heavy attack. And this is one of the reasons, like when you mentioned about war, I'm feeling that. Because we have to understand when God says in Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, it is not the person, the people. It is the within, the demonic working within those people who the devil has pinpointed, just like there are people that are pinpointed to help us through, and iron sharpens iron, right? To help us through the things of God. Well, the same thing works in the demonic. There are people, my God, who are on assignments to really keep us from the things of God, to open us up to unforgiveness, to bitterness, to anger. Just let me just make a statement to everybody that is listening. If anger is not dealt with actively, it turns into rage. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong, baby, with being angry. Yeshua was angry when he walked into the temple and he saw that the people were making the temple into a marketplace. The temple where we worship God is a sacred place. That is not the place where you come in and try to get money from, you know, everybody. We don't mix business with pleasure. We don't do that, right? Yeah. And so he got angry, but he didn't hurt anybody. But baby, he turned them tables over. He let it be known that this is not what we're going to do. And let me display to you just how angry I am. When the Bible says, do not let the sun go down and be angry. Mm-hmm. That anger, if you don't deal with it, becomes a sin. Is it a sin to be angry? Absolutely. There is righteous anger. Someone comes against your family, baby, I know you better. As a matter of fact, I question if you're angry and you do not. Or something happens and you do not get angry. But how you deal with it shows whether or not you are a man or a woman of God. When you don't deal with your anger, it turns into rage. Rage is what will have somebody walk into a post office and kill everybody up in this mug. Mm. Rage will have you kill, you know, take a life, an innocent life when they did nothing to you. That is what rage does. You know what I'm saying? So just wanted to put that out there.
No, that's spot on. You do foolish things when you're angry, right? And the wise understand that, and they remain calm. Were you talking about when you said the test? Were you talking about Abraham with Isaac? That was the first thing I thought about. The ram in the bush, not that. Okay, but yeah, that is so.
I don't remember that, but. I think there's more reoccurring. It's all throughout the Bible. We get tested. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, so. Amen. But sorry, not to cut you off.
No, you're good. You're good. Absolutely good. And we do. I already asked you a while ago. You said no, you have not watched Cobra Kai. Why are you laughing,
man? Because no, I have not. But listen, I grew up on martial arts, but I just haven't, like, I saw the, I saw the Karate Kid and all that other stuff. I just hadn't seen Cobra Kai, but you want to tell me a little bit about it?
Yeah, so the cast from Karate Kid, they're grown now. And basically, I don't want to do too many spoilers, but I'm giving you a warning to the listeners who haven't finished watching Cobra Kai because it concluded. But the antagonist from the first one, Johnny, I don't know if you saw the first Karate Kid, the blind kid who's bullying him. So he's actually the lead now, and I like how they flip it. You look at his world as an adult, and he's like really struggling. He has dead-end jobs. People would identify him in the world as a loser. His son basically has nothing to do with him, his wife. But it's a six-season series, and through all of this, you see the evolution. You see him, a person who was quick to be angry, and you see him grow, evolve in the 6 years. And it just comes full circle, basically. But throughout the series, you see all these people doing bad things to one another. And just to me, the theme that screamed out at the end of it all was forgiveness. And like everyone who was, and it, in fact, one of the characters, she was talking to the family and was like, after I tried to hurt your daughter, you still welcome me in your home and, you know, embrace me. And just, I'm not going to lie to you, I cried several times just watching this last season, but just to see that and what anger did to everyone, every time they got angry. Going back to our subject, every time they got angry, they would do something, and it'd be all this damage is done. For our friendships are severed, and like huge things that just went awry, and then they will be forgiven again. And so that's how it concluded, with this big umbrella of forgiveness, and just a great, great story.
Wow. I don't know. Now I'm kind of I'm thinking that maybe I might want to watch it. I know I saw the I saw like the when it first came out, because it came out a while ago, right? Yeah. So I'm, you know, I remember when it came out, and I don't know, for some reason I was just turned off by it. I'm like, I don't know, you know, in my mind, you know, because you know, Mike Johnny, is he all old now? Like, I don't need that. I don't need that in my life. Like, don't nobody want to watch Johnny now. He ain't got the same moves, you know. No, but
it's the story. But you're right, he doesn't have the same moves. <It's> the <story. laughs>
Like, nah, Johnny is. They should have brought somebody new in, like, you know, new kid up the block. No, but in transparency, but no. But I love that storyline because anger. So as you were talking, I was thinking about how God gets angry. You know, God, the emotions, a lot of the emotions that we feel, God feels them as well. Like when you put other things and people before him, you know, God has feelings. And I don't think that we are aware sometimes that our God is also sensitive. He's a God of war and he is a God of wrath. And he's a God of judgment and justice, but he's also a God of love and mercy and grace. And so when we look at the Israelites and the relationship that God always wanted to have with his chosen people, what were we always doing to him? Leaving him, putting people in places and things, you know, before him and serving other gods and, you know, mixing his traditions with paganism and, you know, and being wine bibbers and fornicators. And, like, that was what we did to him. Like, it is ingrained in us, you know, and we see all of this in Genesis 3 with the fall of humanity when the serpent came and beguiled Eve. You know what I'm saying? Like, our nature is to always run away from God. Our nature, our flesh is so sinful. But it doesn't take away from the fact that God loves us. And here's the kicker, baby. God loves us just like he loves our enemies. That person that did that injustice to you or your family or your dog, God loves them just as much as he loves you. When you look at the latter part of Galatians chapter 3, and in our ministry, God, Holy Spirit has really, you know, ignited us to start to read Galatians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, the latter part of Galatians chapter 3, it tells us that God is no respecter of persons. That's in the King James Version. In the New Language Translation, it says God does not have favorites. Baby, he don't play no favorites. Mm-hmm. He loves nationality here, nationality there, because through Jesus Christ, there now is no Jew nor Gentile. There is no Greek. There is no male or female. There is no free or slave. It's all across the board. It boils down to two things. Are you rocking with Jesus or are you not? According to Galatians chapter 3, if you do not acknowledge Jesus Christ by faith, you are not labeled as a child of God. You are not part of the, you are no longer, you're not co-heir to the Abrahamic blessing that God will bless you, that bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. If you do not acknowledge Jesus Christ, there's one way, the truth and the life, and that is Jesus Christ. So when you acknowledge him by faith, through faith, that is what labels you as a child of God. And so it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. It doesn't matter where you live or where you were born or where you're going to live. It doesn't matter about your bloodline, baby. It only matters if you are rocking with Jesus or are you not, across the board. Amen. So, you know, it's I just wanted to, you know, kind of put that out there, that God is, a lot of the times we see all of these. Can I just tell you a quick story?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Why you laugh? You know what's coming. So before you tell your story real quick, I have to say this, like, God has his hands all on this episode, because what you said about not having a favorite nation or race.
Yeah.
I was going to touch on that when I was, you know, for Black History Month, I was going to say the exact same thing. And so when you said it, I'm like, praise God. So I don't even need to go into it. So in saying that, I've carved that out. And now you can use that time to tell your story.
Yo, I'm so done with you right now.
Now we, you know, we have a guest this time.
So I know. I'm sorry. I thank God for you in my life, because you helped me to keep. This is why I love rocking with the law enforcement. Yo, y'all be like, all right, Mooney, you got 2 minutes. Wrap it up. You know, otherwise I'll be off. But no, I'm laughing because when I said, can I tell a story? Your whole attitude was like, mm-hmm.
No, it was not like
it totally was.
You I'm going like, to hear from my listeners. They'll tell me. I don't think it was.
All right, that. Y'all don't be lying to the unknown preacher, L.A., okay? Y'all come with it and tell old boy the truth, okay? No, I'm just saying. you were so unbothered. You were like, oh, here she goes again. Mm-hmm. tell your little story, Muna. Tell your little, go off
it's
on your
not
little.
A little story, because you're always talking about God, so it's big.
Amen. Praise God. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm going to make this quick. Holy Spirit, help me to you to say the right words, put the right words in my mouth. I relinquish unto you my mind and my tongue and my mouth and how I put forth in the name of Jesus in order to glorify you by serving your people. Okay. So I had a church hurt that happened about 3 years ago. There was an injustice and on my side, right? And I just felt there was a lot of things that happened. There are a lot of, you know, events and stuff like that. And I did not always see myself in that injustice. Mm-hmm. And so I remember that there was one day that I was ministering and Holy Spirit had me to go before him. I had gotten in bed like, probably like 2 a.m. for some reason. Oh, I was in the studio. I was in the studio and we had finished at like 2. A lot of the times we were always doing all nighters. And so we ended at 2. We went back to the hotel and then Holy Spirit told me, he said, I want you to wake up at 4. I'm like, all right, well, that's 2 hours of sleep, but I'm gonna go ahead and do it. So I knew that I was ministering. My producer had, when I visited his church, or I was in the studio with him, he always wanted me to minister through song. And so I said, I was like, okay, God, well, I have to get right. So I'm going to go and go before you. And so I was really, this was weighing on my spirit because I really wanted to let this go. Sometimes we hold on to things and we're really
earnestly trying to let it go. We want to forgive. We want to just get over it. And there's just some demonic, something demonic that's operating that keeps us bound to the thing that we think is our injustice, aka pride, right? So I go before the Lord and I'm like, God, I'm on my knees and I'm like crying out to the Lord and I'm like, God, you know what happened to me? And I don't know. I just want to let it go. And they did this and he did that and she said this and ta 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 ta. And then God says, real smooth with it, man of God. Holy Spirit said, all right, I'm gonna help you out. Okay, I'm putting it in Muna terms. I'm gonna help you out. You know how you're here right now on your knees crying out to me about forgiveness because you want to be able to forgive and you feel like you can't? And I said, yes, God, just help me. I just, oh my, I'm your servant. God, I can't go before God's people, you know, and I'm gonna be a liar because I have this unforgiveness in my heart, but I'm still trying to minister. He said, all right, well, check it out. Right now, at this very moment, somebody else, at this very moment, in this time, in this day, is on their knees crying out to me, my God, I give you the glory, because you hurt them.
Wow. Wow.
Yo, when I tell you, rocked me, I will never, ever forget. I mean, I was just like, wow. You mean to tell me? And because a lot of the times, and why am I telling you this story, ladies and gentlemen? Because it is our pride that will blind us to make us feel like it is only us that has suffered the injustice. No, baby. I was the victim, but I was also the aggressor in a lot of situations in my life. Sometimes things happen and we don't see us. Mm. We don't see that we're the issue. You mean to tell me it's always me? You mean to tell me it's always that? No, sometimes it's you. Sometimes it's not those people. Sometimes it is you. And what God, and God in his infinite omnipotence and his power, all knowing the great I am, he will come and he will put a mirror in front of your face and be like, baby, you are filthy. You are filthy and you need to clean it up. You know, and so when Revelations 3 and 9, 9, 19, Revelations 3 and 19, I believe it is, somebody check my work. God says that he chastises those that he loves. So be earnest and repent. God, when God rebukes us, it is because he loves us. When Jesus Christ cracks the sky, he doesn't want separation. He doesn't want us to be left behind. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to go deeper in us. But we always forget about God. And because we forget about God, we forget about the things of God. So we're always thinking, oh, it's me. And this person, no, baby, it's you. You did that to yourself because you forgot about me. If you would have inquired and asked me, maybe I would have showed you your own ilk, your nastiness, your ratchetness. I would have showed you so that you can make the necessary tweaks so that you can be right with me. There's a lot of good people, y'all, that are going to hell. And more so, that will continue. Heaven is real. Hell is real. This, everything on this earth is but a vapor. Life is not promised for anybody. And so if we disconnect from God, then that means that how are we going to try to, you know, God forbid something happens, and then we just going to think we just gain eternal life? You haven't prayed. You don't fast. You want to do things your way. You're prideful. You're always blaming everybody else. No, what about you? What about you? So I say all that to say that, you know, this is one of the reasons, you know, man of God, why I was saying to you, like, I'm always trying to self-reflect. I'm always trying to, like, God, what did I do? What is my, did I offend this person? Did I offend that person? You know, like, it's not always people coming against me. A lot of the times it's me. A lot of the times it's us, y'all. So, you know, we have to keep that in consideration and just know that. And when injustices come, we must seek the face of the Most High God so that he can give us truth. Because your side of the story, baby, ain't always truth. Their side of the story ain't always truth. God, Jesus is truth. So if we stray away from truth, we're going to be mad, bitter, upset.
And then that opens up the door for demonic attacks, because God said the wages of sin is death, no matter how you slice it.
Wow, wow. Sister, you went so deep. No, you really did, because you started earlier, and I don't know if it was intentional, but you started earlier saying, hey, you know, God loves your enemies too. Mm-hmm. And I knew what you said was correct, but my antenna still went up, right? I was like, yeah, you don't want to, sometimes the human side of you don't really want to acknowledge that, but it is so true. And then you came back to what you just said now, basically, you know, as Christians, we expect more from other Christians. You know, we're in our, you know, our seat looking down at everyone else, and they're in that same predicament, and we're hurting and harming as well. So, wow, that was, and when you said that now, listening before, I couldn't attach a story to it. And then when you said it, circle back to it, I'm like, okay, Saul, he took to a lot of Christians before he became Paul, right?
Uh-huh.
And so I'm like, man, that was deep, sister. That was deep. Yeah, that was really deep. Did I say sister or sister that time?
You said, I don't know, you be switching it up. Sometimes you like sis. You go from sis, sister, sister. Very rarely do you say sister. And you know I like to be referred as sister. I don't like it when you say sister, because I'll be like, it's too much. But sister is, you know what I'm saying? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, now you know the guest is gonna like really give it to you, because
listen, let me tell you something about these guests. These guests, let me tell you about these guests. Okay, if you're a guest and you coming on, I'm tell you straight up, I'm gonna tell you from the gate off the rip. Right? You are under our jurisdiction when you come up here. Don't y'all come up here thinking you all, you know what I'm saying? Okay. Mm. No, I'm just kidding.
I can't wait to hear what the guest has to say to you.
Don't say that, Lonzo. Don't say that. Oh, my God. Because
I'm definitely throwing you under the bus.
Oh, no. Word? Okay. I can come for that.
Anything else before we go to commercial?
No, that's it. That is it. You know what? Actually, I want to know if there's anything else that you want to say, anything that you want to air out. I would like to give you the opportunity, man of God, to give us a word. You know, what you're feeling in your spirit.
No, this is therapy for me on so many ways, and without a wind, it really is. We have to try to keep a merry heart despite what's going on around us, and look up to God and know that at the end of the day, it's His will. And so I'll leave it at that. And
that's good.
And when we come back, we are speaking with Willa Mae Hendrickson Hayes.
Yeah.
Yes, the first Black Miss Garden State, man.
Yeah.
That is huge. And light of Black History Month, and I was going to touch on those other things. I just want to say, man, we really stand on her shoulders. So when we come back, she wants to be called Mimi or prefers Mimi. We'll hear about that too. When we come back, Mimi, y'all.
Listen up. Are you ready? Are you ready to play a role in changing the narrative for our Black and Brown communities? There is no better time than now for us to learn, change, uplift our communities, and forever improve our encounters with law enforcement. There will be two Know Your Rights workshops on March 15th. Both workshops are being sponsored by the one and only John Blakely of J Speaks. UM50 will conduct both workshops on how to safely interact with police and safely get home. Thomas Mentoring Leadership Academy is hosting the first workshop, which will be held from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Durham Nativity School in Durham. This is located at 1004 North Mangum Street. The second Know Your Rights workshop will be hosted by Alexandra Valladares de Comunidad de Durham at Recity Network at 112 Broadway Street in Durham from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. You don't want to miss this. See you there.
Beautiful people, we are back, and today's guest, truly a role model, y'all. She bust the door wide open, becoming the first Black Miss Garden State. And I will tell you who her family is. But I just want to say we stand on our shoulders, right? And I know it seems sometimes it seems like progress is in slow motion. Sometimes it seems like it's not moving fast enough, but we keep pushing forward. We keep pushing, we keep moving, and we keep looking to God. And so please, please, please welcome to the Unknown Preacher LA, Willa Mae Hendrickson Hayes, aka Mimi. How are you?
Yeah!
I am.
Yeah! Woo! I love that lady. Yeah!
Sorry.
See, she says she loves you, Mimi, but she took a bulk of your time.
How dare you?
I'm just not listening. I'm not with this millennium thing, or is it this Gen Z or the all that stuff, you know? I'm a bloomer. I'm a bloomer. So y'all got to have a little bit of patience with me. Mr. Alonzo, I know you will, but my daughter is a typical daughter of the, what age is she? She's not a...
She's an ex, I think, right? Or you a...
No, you're not an ex.
Millennial?
She's a millennial? I don't know. I'm 43, so I don't know. I was born in 81.
Yeah, you're right at that bubble. I think like 41 is the cutoff, and then anything older is a Generation X.
Okay.
Yeah, so... Which means you could go either or. You got some of those, you know, tendencies of a Gen Xer and some of a millennial.
I mean, I wish I knew what all of this meant. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, now can you all hear me?
Yeah.
You can hear me loud and clear.
Because I was saying something a few minutes ago and nobody responded. So I'm like, they done cut me out already.
Hey, I'm trying to give you the space. It's Mona. I mean, it's all Mona doing.
Well, she talks too much anyway. Why don't you just mute her?
Hey, well, behave yourself online, okay?
Hey, we could go on and on, but I do want to hear about Mimi and, you know, just tell us your story and how did we get to Miss Garden State, man? That's a huge accomplishment.
How I got into the I wanted to make a correction about being the Black Miss Garden State. Everybody knows that New Jersey is the Garden State.
Yes.
So I was at the Garden State Fair, and I was the first Black woman to win the Miss Garden State Fair. And it was in 1969. There was a whole lot going on in 1969. That was when I'm Black and I'm Proud, the Black Panther.
Oh, James Brown, yeah.
Yeah, that's what, Alonzo, I know you know about James Brown.
I'm a music, we'll get into that later. I'm not going to take your light, my sister.
Yeah.
I'll let you.
Okay.
I don't want to interrupt.
Okay. So, I'm from that era where the Black Panthers were ruling a lot of the, they were great influencers during that period. I was at the March on Washington, the I Have a Dream speech, Washington. Mm-hmm. I was there. There was a lot going on. There were so many things going on. And I was being from Marstown, New Jersey, which is a very laid back town. It's sort of like, to tell you the truth, it's sort of like Oxford here. It's just a small town, but it's a little bit, it's closer to New York, so it's a little bit more bougie, you know what I mean? Yeah. So that's how I got involved. And I was one, I used to always take time to go into New York and stay in a hotel just to get away from it all, because we were in a really small house. Mm-hmm. And that's how I used to just treat myself. I'd take a bus into New York, and I was at the poolside this one day while I was on one of my sabbaticals. And this man came up with a camera. He said, come on. Let's get over here. We've got to take the pictures. The girls are ready. And I'm like, what? He said, just pick up your stuff and let's go. So I was curious. So I went I went with him, and there were a whole bunch of girls that were, were vying for the title of, I can't remember what it was, because Miss Garden State was not my first beauty pageant, mm-hmm. but it was for Miss New York or Miss New Jersey or something like that. So that's how I got involved in it. Did you know that, Luna?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. See, she didn't even know that. So that's how I got into it. And I had done about, to tell you the truth, about 10 beauty contests. Now, I placed in about 3 or 4 of them. In those days, they had like 4th place, 3rd place, 2nd place. You know, it was a lot. And I generally always placed somewhere in that lineup. Wow. But I had said to myself, when I was doing at the Garden State Fair, I said, you know what? This is my last one. I'm not doing this. And my sister, who just passed a couple of, not even a 2 months ago, about a month and a half ago, she came with me. And when I used to do this, I always used to go by myself, because mm-hmm. I don't know. I didn't want any distractions. I didn't want any failures. So I went by myself, and this time I took my sister with me, because I'm like, it doesn't matter, because I'm not, you know, this is the last one. And that night my mom came. There were a couple. Wow. My family was there. And when my sister was in the back with me, her name is Jane, or was Jane, she was helping me get dressed, you know, like bathing suit and all that. And she said to me when we were back, she said, there is no way in the world you cannot win this. And I'm like, really? And she said, oh, my God. She said, you are just miles ahead. And I'm like, really? And she said, yeah.
She said that you have to? She said you are
She said you have to win, because she felt like I was head and shoulders above everybody that was there.
Oh,
yeah. So yeah. So that was good. And like when they interviewed me after I had won, they mm-hmm. said, the question was, why do you think you won tonight? And I said, because I brought my good luck charm with me. You know, you got to schmooze these things up. And I said, what's your good luck charm? I said, my mom. Mm-hmm. And my mother was out there, and she's like, yay, that's why. <I'm laughs> So, you know, we just put a little soul in that pageant. But that was the last one that I had done, and that's how I had gotten to it. And I learned a few tips about poise and how you keep a smile. You put grease inside of your mouth like Vaseline.
I saw that on A Different World. I saw that back. Yeah. Interesting. So it's true.
Yeah. Oh, you heard of it. Yeah, you put the Vaseline inside your gums. And then when you're smiling, you can keep smiling. It doesn't, your smile, you know how when you smile and your face, it gets dry? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a lot of, you know, the walks and stuff like that. So, yes, that's your first question. What else did you want to know?
See how she answers that, Mona? So, for y'all, we didn't tell you, Mimi is Mona's mother.
So
we can only imagine.
I just want you to know, my mother, she's not my favorite. Just putting it out there.
I have two children. Miss Mona is not my favorite child. I love my son. I just brought her home with me because they said I had to.
It's funny because growing up, it was the three of us. It was my mother, my brother, and myself. And he's both our favorite, which is fine. You know, a lot of times people are like, oh my gosh, you should not say that he's your favorite. And when she's like, my favorite child, you know, she's not my favorite child. You know, sometimes you can see people's face. It's very uncomfortable for them, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I'm fine with it because he's my favorite too. You know what I mean? So I was like, we're good. It's all right. But yeah, my mother's not my favorite, ladies and gentlemen. just putting it out there. Yeah. You know?
I absolutely love the chemistry, man. I love it. Hey, so let me ask you this. As you were saying that, I was thinking about, you mentioned Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., James Brown. So the civil rights era, was that part of the inspiration? Is that why you touched on it? Were you inspired? Was there already this knowledge that there had never been a Black Miss Garden State?
That was the time where we were allowed, I would say, to do things like that. Or if you wanted, I was in the North, so I don't know about the South. I think it was a while before the South caught up. But I, like I said, this guy with the camera said, "Hey, let's go. What are you doing? Let's go. Grab your stuff and let's go." And I, me being curious, I just went. I mean, I was just laying around doing nothing for the weekend, walking up and down the streets of New York, people watching. That was one of my favorite pastimes, going into the city and just watch people. New York is so... Have you ever been to New York City?
Yes. Uh-huh. I love it.
Oh, it's so interesting. You see any and everything, you know. But yeah, I was part of the that movement. Because we had a organization, I don't remember the name of it. It was so many years ago, and I just hopped on the bus, and I went. There were a lot of things that I used to just like to do by myself, because in my family, I'm a little bit different from my brother and sisters. Mm-hmm. I had different interests from them. They used to laugh at me when I was in high school, because I used to walk around high school with a briefcase. And nobody else.
That's deep.
I was such a nerd. I was just, you know, I think I'm kind of nerdish now even.
Yeah.
And it's just the way I am. I like stuff that's, I guess, a little bit different. But my brother and sisters, you know what? And another thing. Mm-hmm. My mother had said to me, I had a whole bunch of kids come over the house, and they were all in the backyard. And my mother looked in the backyard and she said, "Oh my God, it looks like the United Nations back there," because I had friends from all different backgrounds and
influences.
Yeah, that's how I have always been, you know, and Muna as well.
Let me
just put a pin in.
Here she goes. cut this part after we get off, okay?
Go ahead.
But we'll entertain her.
I want to say this about my mother. Honestly, my mother is probably about the smartest woman outside of my grandmother, my maternal grandmother. So my mother's mother that I've ever met in my life. So you could say, you know, some people see it as nerdish, but I know when I remember, man of God, you had said one day that some people are like, "Oh, you know, you're not Black enough." And there's this this stereotype, like if you're an intelligent Black American, that you're acting too white, or you sound too white. And it's like, well, first of all, I'm educated, baby. So what does sounding white, or what are you trying to say? Because I don't sound white, baby. I sound educated. You know what I'm saying? So my mother has always been very, she is an extremely, highly, highly intelligent. She went back to college when my brother and I were, after my brother and I were born, and she was in her 40s. And so I grew up in the College of St.
I was in my late 30s. My late 30s.
Okay.
She better get this right.
Okay. So excuse me. She was in her late 30s. However, she went back to school. She finished school. And, you know, something that I'm very proud of, like my mother has so many milestones, you know, from, you know, childhood that I can remember. But what I want to capitalize on is the fact that she went back to college, even though she had two small kids, and that she was like, "You were cum laude, right?"
Mm-hmm. Well, cum laude, yeah.
She was cum laude, which is a high honor. And she was also part
Summa
of...
Cum laude is the highest.
Mommy.
It's my interview.
I know, but still. It's,
she said it's my interview.
Yeah, right? But still,
she was begging me last night, "Mommy, could you please come on?" Okay, go ahead.
No, I wasn't. I asked you. See, Alonso, cut that part out. cut this part out. Because I asked her, and she's like, you never asked me. Now she's trying to echo. Oh, she want to be all reserved on camera. You should see an old girl behind me. You never asked me. You just tell me. I'm like, hey, yo, I'm trying to put you on, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to, you know, say, spice up your life. Yeah, you didn't ask. Sorry. So anyway, so I'm basically saying that she was cum laude or whatever you want to call it, but it's a high honor. And then she was also part of the Who's Who, which is, can you explain a little bit about the Who's Who?
It's the title of it is Who's Who in American Colleges and Universities. Wow. And it's from all over the United States. They take the top students or students that have added something to some significant things to the college or university that you're in, have mm-hmm. done civil duties and things like that. So,
hey, check out part two this Wednesday.
I ain't never heard of you before. It's the unknown. It's the unknown preacher.